Welcome to the Pascal Ngwe Podcast. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal is an anointed teacher of the Word of God who makes the Bible to come alive. Get ready to be empowered as you listen to the Word of God.
Guys, this woman is beautiful. That's all I can say. May God bless you too. Amen. Father, we give you praise for the word this morning. Speak to us in a way that will heal and change us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's be seated, please. Can we quickly go to Galatians 5:22 before we touch on one thing here today? Galatians 5:22. All right. Let's read out 1 Corinthians 13, 4. Just a little NIV, if you can. A little review on love. Even though I'm not really talking on love today, but just to help us remember a few things. Just in a nutshell, this morning, there's a lot of teachings I've done on the subject of love, and I'll be doing some this year as well, not just this month. But in a nutshell, when you say you love somebody, like if you say you love somebody, what does that mean in a simple term? Do you understand? Like, simply put, if I love somebody, what do I mean by that? This is something I've learned from Bishop Backward Mills, and I think it's a very good way of understanding love. Where he says, love simply means forgiveness. Like, the simplest definition that I could give to love is forgiveness. It's forgiveness. Love involves a lot of forgiveness and a lot of forgiving. And that's the first thing I want to say. Every time you love, you will be challenged to either forgive or to hold. But if you really love, you will forgive. Like that's in a simple term, love equals forgiveness. I gotta forgive the people I love. I gotta turn the blind eye on sometimes very bad things that have happened. We're listening to Bishop Ogo yesterday. He said, the other word to use for marriage, like if you want to find another word you can use, if you don't want to say marriage, are you ready for the other word? Oh God. He says the other word to use when you don't want to use marriage, the other word is nonsense. Like, do you understand? Like, if you want to know which other word best can replace the word marriage is what? Nonsense. So my wife and I could have said, we've been in this nonsense for the past 14 years. And we've been in the nonsense. Yeah. And you see, because a lot of nonsense, like things that don't make sense. Do you understand? Like, when you think about it deeply, you realize that a lot of things don't make sense in a marriage. Yeah. And if you don't apply the pill called forgiveness, the nonsense will continue. So that's why the quickest, you see, just take it like relationships in general will always require a lot of forgiveness. A lot of forgiveness. You're going to have to forgive your pastor. You're going to have to forgive your fellow church members. You're going to have to forgive your mother, your dad. And so much, like, for the relationship to not spoil, for the relationship to survive, you need to apply forgiveness a lot. That's why love is basically forgiveness. Okay, so then, what is forgiveness? Because if love is forgiveness, then let's rather use forgiveness rather than love. Do you understand? Therefore, forgiveness means patience. So when I'm forgiving, I'm patient. Part of forgiving means you'll be a bit patient. By being patient, you are being forgiven. Yes. You are being forgiven. But being just a bit more patient, in other words, you are not a referee that blows the whistle at every mistake. Have you ever watched a game where the referee blows the whistle every mistake? Beep! Beep! Will you enjoy the game? I mean, from time to time, a good referee will say, go on, go on, go on. Like, I have seen the mistake, but go on, go on, go on. Like, continue playing. Continue playing. I saw the mistake, and sometimes the player will stop playing. He say, hey, he's talking to the referee. He say, go on, go on. I can't be blowing the whistle every 2 seconds. And that thing affects the game. Because every 2 minutes, the game must stop for an offside, for a penalty, for this, for that. We can't even enjoy the game for 2 seconds. Beep. Some referees, the supporters bought whistles for them. Do you understand? Like, because they noticed some referees that are always blowing whistles. So they went to the stadiums with whistles in their pocket. When the referee comes near, they throw the whistles at him. Bang, bang, and they run away. You are always blowing at the wrong times. We all need a referee. Most marriages don't work because there's no referee. Can KZ Chief and Para start playing without a referee? Like, they're just going to play and nobody is there to say, okay, you have to wait. Let this one. Do you understand? When there's no referee in the relationship will collapse. Because you have to understand something. Everybody feels they are right. Hey, I'm telling you right now. The person, you are thinking that this person is wicked. The person is thinking you are an idiot. Like, he doesn't even know why he married you. I'm not saying they think you are an idiot. I'm just saying that everybody has a position.
And they feel their position is the greatest position. That nobody feels, okay, I'm wrong, you are right. No. Everybody feels, I'm right, you are wrong. The other ones feel, I'm right, you are also wrong. So what are you going to do? That's when you need a referee. An independent person that looks at the thing from far and say, no, this time you are wrong. Not your husband or your wife saying to you, you are wrong. Another person saying to you, you are wrong. You need that in the relationship. If it is not there, a lot of evil will happen. The person that is stronger will overpower the other one. So a lot of injustice will happen. Did you understand? So that's why we need to apply this thing. So love is patience, and forgiveness is patience. Forgiveness is kindness. When you are forgiving, you show a lot of kindness to the person. It's not that you are not seeing the bad thing they are doing, but you are just being kind. You are not overreacting too quickly. You don't envy their success. You love them. So you are not trying to outdo them. You are not trying to be better than them. It is very easy for two people to start together, but before you know it, they start becoming competitors. I'm better than you. I know more than you. You are always wrong. I'm always right. Envy, another word for envy is jealousy. So, when you start having jealousy in the relationship, a lot of unforgiveness is going to end. Does not boast, it's not proud, and on. I mean, you can go and read it for yourself. I was just showing you that if you can go home with something today, love equals what? Forgiveness. If I love my children, I need to make room for forgiveness. If I love my dad, I need to forgive. If I love my wife, I need to forgive. If I love the church where God planted me, I need to be forgiving towards that church. I shouldn't just be at the first mistake, I blow them out. Must forgive. Must forgive. Because a lot of bad things happen. Sometimes they are not intentional, but they just happen. You need to forgive. Amen. So, Father, we pray this morning that you will give us capacity to forgive those that we love. Because sometimes our greatest hurts come from the very people we love. Our greatest disappointments, our greatest pains. Father, we pray tonight, today, give us peace. I pray for somebody here in the building right now that you will take away the pain of repeated hurts. You will give them grace to actually release this person into your hands, that you will do a better job than we can. We ask that you give us the strength to forgive and to believe that you will do justice to the matter better than we will. We ask, Lord, that you also help those we have hurt to forgive us, so that we can all reconcile again. Amen. If you go to the next line, verse 5. It says that forgiveness is not rude, or love is not rude. Love is not self-seeking. And then it says, love is not easily angered. Can you control your... Love
love is not easily angered. So when I love and I'm always angry, I'm easily angry at this person. But I say I love them. But I get so angry at them. I heard the story of two people. They just got married. They went on the honeymoon. Before they could enter the room, the lady said, "I'm not entering this room." I said, "Why?" "No, I didn't like the way you were when we were dancing there. This bridesmaid that came there. Why were you dancing like that with that bridesmaid? On my wedding day, you are dancing like that with a bridesmaid. These are my friends. Why are you dancing like that with the bridesmaid? I don't appreciate it. I don't appreciate it. And I'm not going to take nonsense in this marriage." You see, it's not about the microphone. Reduce your volume or something. It's not about changing the microphone. Work on your sound. Now, you see, she said, "I will not take this nonsense. I will not." I'm saying they were in front of the room of the honeymoon. She said, "I'm not entering inside you." The guy started begging. "Please, I've been waiting for a very long time. I mean, why?" Easily angered. On the wedding day, honeymoon night, I'm not entering that room. You must explain to me why you dance with the bridesmaid like that. These are my friends. What message are you passing? You could have chosen her. Why did you choose me? You could have just chosen her. A beast came right there in the room like that. I heard about another one right in the honeymoon. I know a lot of honeymoon stories. I get a K Valentine's. I'm talking about love. In the room where the hotel brought them food. Hey! An argument started there. The lady took a plate and threw the plate at them. The brother started dodging the place like Bruce Lee. Amen. In the honeymoon room, people are dodging plates. Side plates, you know, like these saucers. Pew! Yeah. Another one. Honeymoon. All my stories are true. All my stories are true. Yeah. You say you want to get married. You must prepare yourself. This one, they took a cruise. You know the cruise? Like they're doing the honeymoon in the cruise. They go to Brazil. They go to Argentina. They just move their cruising. A beast started in the cruise. The guy is not enjoying himself at all. At all. But he's stuck in the cruise ship. You understand that? He's stuck inside the cruise ship. But he's not happy. Apparently, when he saw the next stop, I don't know which country it was, or Portugal or what, they say he picked his passport. Only his passport. He jumped off. He took his, he left the clothes, he left the credit cards, he left the money, he left the wedding cake, everything inside. He took his passport and ran for his life. And he never looked back. Hmm?
easily angered. That when it doesn't take much to get you worked up. Do you see now? And you start releasing volcano from your mouth. You burn everything with the volcano. May the Lord help us. Because love is not easily angered. Yeah.
I've learned this when I became a father of these my children. That you can't be angry all the time. You have to change. Yeah. And you can't be easily irritable. They will ask you 10 questions in 1 second per second. And if you are a man of anger, you are finished. Either your children will be so afraid of you, they will never talk.
By having kids, I learned you can't be angry all the time.
Yeah.
And you can't continuously remind your child, you see that thing you did? No. You can't. It's not that you are not aware there was a mistake. You laugh. And when you laugh, you don't get angry easily. Like, it must take a long time before your anger comes up. It must take a long time. They are eating, they dirty themselves, you are shouting. They go to clean themselves, you don't like the cloth they took to clean themselves, you are shouting. Like, everything, you are just bam, 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 bam. You kill the will of the child. You kill the will of the child. Do you know something? God, the Bible says in the book of Psalm 103, I think somewhere down there, said God doesn't get easily easily. God doesn't get angry easily. Yeah. I mean, imagine if God was getting angry easily with you. Like, every small mistake you make, and they say that's how I thought God was. That every time you do something, how many of you had that image of God? White man with a long beard and a shambok. And the shambok is always up. Yeah. And have you thought about it? Why is that God not a black man? Like, why is it that we always think it's a white man with a, it's a slave mentality. That's where it's coming from. That is not the message. The Lord is merciful. Say with me, merciful. Merciful means you are full of mercy. You are full of mercy. You are not an idiot. You are not an imbecile. You are just merciful. You are just merciful. Like, you show mercy. You show mercy. And because God is merciful and gracious, so there's mercy and there's grace in Him. And I think I've explained to you guys that the difference between the two, like, they're not the same. Mercy means something that you deserve. You don't get it. Like, you deserve to be punished, but you don't get punished. That's mercy. Grace is something you don't deserve, and then you get it. Like, you don't deserve to be promoted, but you are now being promoted. You don't deserve to be saved, but you are now saved. That's what I say, is the grace of God. In other words, I don't deserve anything I have, but God has given it to me. And the things that I actually deserve, I deserve to go to hell, but the mercy of God has said, no, you are not going to hell. No, you are not going to be punished. No, you are not going to go through this. The mercy of God and the grace of God, it is the combination of the two that makes God to not get angry easily. So He is slow to anger. Slow. Even though that's not how you think, but it takes a long time before God gets angry. Long time. long time. You must believe it. That's what the Bible says. NLT it. Wow. What a blessing. Are you helped? It's love. I didn't want to talk about love, but here I'm talking about love. You must go on YouTube to find the message of this morning, please. You see, the Lord is compassionate. What is compassion? A desire to help somebody in need. Like you just want to help the person. It's compassion. So the Lord is slow to get angry. Slow. So God is very sluggish when it comes to getting angry. Very sluggish. He takes his time. You'll be there and say, Lord, hit this guy. Lord, kill this guy. Yeah, he's taking his time. You know why? Because he believes you can change. I want to show it to you. Scripture I'm looking for says God is not slow as we understand slowness. Yeah. Love you, find it for me if you can. We are almost there, guys. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Thank you, madam. The Lord, you see, in Psalm 103, it says God is slow. Do you understand? But it can give you a wrong understanding. So Peter is explaining that God is not slow in keeping his promise as some understand slowness. But he is patient with you. What is the promise here? The promise is that God is going to destroy the world. He has promised us that he's going to destroy this world. If you read the verse before, then he's reminding us that Jesus is coming back and God is going to destroy this world. And then he says, people think God is slow to doing that. Like that thing he said is going to destroy the world. But he's now saying that God is not slow in keeping his promise that he's going to destroy this world as people understand slowness. God is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to what? Repentance. To change. Repentance means to change. So God will wait, not because he is weak, not because he cannot punish, but he is hoping and believing that you can change and that you will adjust yourself so he doesn't have to punish you. So whenever you see God bringing a judgment on a person, you have to understand he has waited for a long time. He has given the person multiple chances to change. He has reviewed the thing so many times, but the person is obstinate in not wanting to change. Then God says, you leave me with no choice, but you release the tormentors to come and torment you. You leave me with no choice. I've given you plenty of time, many opportunities to change. You'll be surprised, the worst criminal in the city is still alive. Why? Because God wants to be patient with him. That, my brother, the thing that is waiting for you is worse than everything you've ever done to people. Like, I don't want that to be your story. I want you to change. And God is speaking to you this morning. God is saying to you, listen, even some of you that are here, you are feeling, hey,
I'm just waiting for the judgment now. I've done so many bad things. I know the judgment is coming. God is saying there's no judgment coming right now. I want to give you a chance to change. Let's end at 1 Corinthians. Love keeps no record of wrong. Now, this is hard. To not remember the wrongs a person has done to you is not easy. Because we all have a memory. Keeps no record of wrong. It's easier read than done. Myself included. But he's showing us the standard. If I love, not keep reminding you every time you do something. I bring back the old files, all the old files. Hey, when are you? Will never change. Ah, you will never change. Last year November, you threw a plate, and October, you closed the door that I wasn't entering the room. December, during the family meeting, you beat me in the kitchen when nobody was there. How many of you have a good detailed record of, like as soon as you stumble in the mall, like when you are entering the church, like as soon as you see the face, ooh. I mean the record is fresh. It's as if it happened yesterday. Yeah, LP was talking to us about trauma. Like, you see, I learned something there. So she was saying, you know, when you are going through trauma, it's like you are reliving the same thing that happened to you years ago. In a new body, like you are an older person, but you are reliving the thing you lived when you were maybe 5 years old. So you haven't forgotten the experience. It's still there. No record of wrong. Now in marriage, I tell you, a lot of wrongs. Hey, are gonna happen. People are going to forget your birthday. Oh. And they're going to apologize and they're going to say, no, they'll never do it again. And they will repeat it the very next year in the same fashion. Wow. You just ask yourself, is this witchcraft or what is happening here? I think you are bewitched. The person is not bewitched. That thing called marriage. What is the second name of this thing called marriage? Nonsense. Like once you enter that thing, not that the marriage is nonsense, but there's a lot of nonsense in the thing. Even some of you that are not married, that you've just been trying your small things, the type of nonsense you have seen. I mean, you are not even married. You are far from it. But the level of nonsense that your eyes have come across, you are asking yourself, should I go and tie myself to this nonsense? There's a lot of nonsense in the thing. I will send Bishop Ogo flowers just for redefining that thing. The way he defined it, it's nonsense. You get it? Yeah. So a lot of wrong things are going to happen to you. And you will do a lot of wrong things to people. So we need to apply forgiveness. 6, as we close. Love does not delight in evil. And you know, this is another statement I heard from Bishop Dag. You will see I mention Bishop Dag a lot. He's my father in the ministry. I'm not ashamed to call him, to mention him. He is my father and I love him. And I enjoy his ministry with all my heart. Yes. He said that you would think that evil, you know, like it happens in war. You know, like you go to war and there's a lot, it's true, there's a lot of evil in war. A lot of evil. People become like animals. Yeah, you must watch the documentaries on the civil war in Liberia. You will not believe what people would do. Yeah. Where people used to believe that if I eat a human heart, I will not die. Yeah. So they cut people open, take the heart and eat it. To one another. Yeah. In Liberia here, it happened for 11 years of civil war. It finished the country. By the time the civil war was over, there was no electricity in the country. There was no water. Everything was finished. Oh, it's not good. There's a lot of evil in war, but he says the greatest evil that you will ever imagine, it happens in the marriage. I was surprised by that statement, but you know, when you think about it deeply, if you watch some of the programs in TLC, Crimes of Passion, you know, such things, hey, you'll be amazed at the level of evil that two people that used to love each other can do to each other. Did you understand? I'm always amazed at how I can go from loving you to hating you and to even wanting to kill you. It goes from this to this. Yeah. A lot of evil. There are spouses that specialize in hating each other. Every day. With words. With actions. With decisions. Yeah. They change the will all the time to hate each other. I remove you from my will. You never get anything. The other one says, I also remove you from my will. You never get anything. Hey. Then another day when they kiss nicely. You know, I've put you back in my will. You will get everything. Another says, I'm also putting you back in my will. You will get everything. What is it? Nonsense. A lot of nonsense. But you know, true love rejoices in truth. Amen. Let's conclude. Wow. Love always protects. You should focus on the nonsense part of the. Love always protects. It protects. You know, you will learn something about people that are in love. The more in love you are, the more vulnerable you become. Because you become soft. When you are alone, you are a rock. You learn to fight. Do you understand? You don't need anybody, nobody. I mean, you are fighting. But when you meet a person, you see, you have to soften up so that they can hold you. Nobody wants to be holding rocks and kissing rocks. Nobody wants to do that. So the person that was a rock becomes a sponge. This is a little message for somebody here. Don't be too hard in a relationship. Hey, you are so hard. Your words are hard. You know, you don't kiss. You don't greet. You don't. You are always giving instructions. You know, take out the trash, fix the light bulb, clean the toilet, and you know, remember to pay Eskom, and then remember the school fees. Where's the softness? No, where's the softness? If you watch the movie Not So Easily Broken, the white lady in the movie that lost her son, you know, when he went swimming and then he died in the swimming, you know, she cried so terribly. And then when people came to comfort her, you know what she said? Pick up the trash. Pick up the trash. People are like, hey, what are you saying? And they thought she's gone mad. I mean, like we came to comfort you, to spend time with you. And out of the blue, we are saying, pick up the trash. They said, why are you saying pick up the trash? She says, I can't believe that was my last word to my son before he died. The last thing he heard me say was, pick up the trash. Not I love you. Not you're a great boy. Not I'm proud of you. Pick up the trash. That was her last word to her son. And after that, he went to compete and he died. Pick up the trash. Hardness. Hardness. Hard. It's hard for you to let go, eh? Hey, the person will beg, eh? Hey, they will cry, eh? But you are not moving. Eh? You are not moving at all. You are not moving. Yes. Hard. Hard. So when you are that hard, you see, what it does to you is that you become insensitive, eh? You can become very insensitive to. Yeah, you don't feel things. So automatically, you stop protecting. Stop protecting. I remember one time I was at work, and there was this woman, she came, and she had her son. Her son was making a lot of noise. Just, you know, those kids that are just unruly. He's just moving on. And the other guest came with her husband. And then they are trying to talk to us. And this child is just making a lot of noise. And the mother is there. Then this woman who was with her husband turned to the child and said, shh. Ay. The mother turned to her and said, don't shoot my child. Who are you? Who are you to talk to my child? It became war right there. Even if my child is messing up, you don't have any right to touch my child. Protection. But do you know how many times I've seen parents let another person insult their child? And they are just, they say, I talk to him also. I've been talking to him. He doesn't listen. Maybe he will hear you if you talk to him. Maybe he will hear this time. Because me, I've given up. No protection. The child is exposed. Anybody can speak into the life of this child. Anybody can do anything with this child. And you are watching it. I think we should stop this. You guys like, you want me? I shouldn't speak these things. Where is the protection? Where is the protection in the house? Where is the protection? If I could talk 1 second to the men in this church and to the brothers, I will say in terms of protection, we have failed our wives, our sisters, our beloveds. We fail so dismally in protecting. When we open up to other women about them, we have conversations. You are exposing your life. And you are making her weak. Where's the protection? Does she feel safe? Does she feel she can go anywhere and nobody will be laughing at her? Does she feel she can go just to... I think the only thing we have here is spa. Right? And I still don't know why don't we have a supermarket in this place. I mean, this place is so huge. Let's trust God for a supermarket in this village. Yes. But I'm telling you, can she go anywhere with her head high? Or some places she go to, people will be giggling. She's the one. No protection. There's no protection. You haven't given her to the dogs, but the behavior and the decisions that you are making every day are exposing her. Do you understand what I'm trying to do? I think I should stop this message. You are exposing her. She's no more, even though she's not even aware of it. But the scales have been removed. And she's bare out there. How can I say I love her, but I don't protect her? Lord Jesus, help us to protect those we love. It's my responsibility to protect those I love. I must protect my daughter. I must protect my daughter. I must protect my son. I must protect my wife. She must feel safe. Do you see, if I'm walking with my wife in the mall and I'm scared, do you understand?
Yes.
She should be 10 times more scared. Or you don't understand what I'm trying to say. Like if I'm working with her at the mall and I am scared, whether she realizes it or not, she is in danger. Because a bomb can blow any moment here now. So which means all the time I've been going to the mall, I haven't been protecting her. You see, you don't need to be with the person to protect the person. You don't need to be with your wife to protect your wife. Alone, you can make decisions that are protecting your wife. And I can even say
that many a times women fail because we feel, no, she's not here, so I can do what I want to do. And then the day she's there, then I will behave. But everything I do when she's not there is already exposing her. It's already exposing her. And the day she shows up, she will just show up to a whole army of guns pointed at her.
Yeah. That's the truth. And I wish some of you, your husbands or your wives were here to hear. But it's recorded. Maybe they can hear it someday. To protect. And also, the same thing can also happen to the wife. Why? Because sometimes women talk a lot. Do you understand? Like they talk a lot. And because they talk a lot, they are usually inclined to talk about their problems a lot. And by talking about their problems a lot, their usual main problem, I can tell you, ask any married woman, her number one problem in this world, her greatest challenge in this life, after the devil comes very far behind, the demons come very, very far behind, anacondas are very, very far behind, her number one challenge in this life is the husband. Is the husband. That is her greatest trauma. And when she start talking, guess what? She will talk about this problem. And sometimes she talk about this problem to the wrong people. In fact, that is usually what happens most of the time. Most of the time, we don't talk to the person we're supposed to talk to. We talk to the wrong person. And in so doing, I have exposed my husband. I have exposed his weaknesses. I've relieved myself that I have exposed him. From that moment, these people will never respect him again. They will not respect him. Every time they see him, they just see that guy that was described that time there and that thing. So we have to protect those we love. If I really love you, I must think of protecting you, not exposing you. But the natural tendency, I want to be honest with you, the natural tendency is that, you know, this guy is not as great as you guys think he is. I mean, I've been living with this person for a while now, and I can tell you, I've experienced a lot of challenges with this guy. You know, this girl is not as beautiful as you guys think she is. I mean, I've been living with her for the past number of years, and I can tell you a lot of the things I've been stomaching in this thing. I think it's about time I start exposing some of this so that you guys can understand what I've been going through. You are in the right church, people. You are in the right church. You are in the right church. You are in the right church. I say you are in the right church. You are hearing the right word. You are hearing the right word that can change your life, that can change your family. You are hearing the right word. Hearing the right word. Protect those you love. Protect the church. Protect your pastor. Protect your church members. Protect the people. You say you love these people. Why are you exposing the dirty linen outside? I remember years ago when I was still back home. I was so angry at a family member. I entered a taxi with a friend and I started talking. I was just talking. I was so angry. And a guy behind started advising me. He said, you must not allow that thing to happen, eh? You must not allow that thing to happen, otherwise they will kill you. So you have to do something about this. I thought to myself, who is this idiot that is talking here? Did I call you to this meeting? Did I invite you? Did I ask for your opinion in this meeting? Who asked you to talk to me?
But then when I thought about it, I said, you see, because I was exposing my family member, every Tom and Jerry felt they can get involved and help me kill my family member. Because you want to kill your family member, who will help you kill your family member? Who will help you to destroy them? Can I tell you the truth?
Yes.
Most people you are telling the problems to, they don't have any intention of helping you. Actually, after you leave, they laugh at you. They laugh at you. Like, they actually say, oh my God, look at this one. Ah, there's no hope there. Ah, there's no hope there. Do you think they pray for you? Do you really think they go? No. They just want, they are just like news. Do you understand? News. When you watch the news, do you watch the news to change South Africa? Like, after you finish watching the news, you rise up and say, no, okay, let's do something about this country. You are just watching the news and then say, shame, South Africa. Ish. That's all. That's all. So for many of them, you are just giving them news, good, a lot of bad news. And they are enjoying hearing your bad news, but they're not going to do anything about it. Not going to do anything about it. Love always trusts. Not sometimes trusts. Always trust. ABC, we are challenged this morning. Oh. We are challenged to always trust. It's not easy. Because trust is end. And many times, John Maxwell says, when you start a relationship with somebody, you know what happened? You give them 10 rent of trust for free. They don't deserve it. They've never earned it. You actually give it to them.
Yeah.
Just like you dash them, let's say 100 rent of trust. They didn't do anything yet. You just like the person and then you give them your trust. Then as they start behaving,
yeah,
the money starts reducing. 100 rent becomes 90 rent. 90 rent becomes 80 rent. Sometimes 80 rent becomes 40 rent, like because of a major offense. Until they've run out of trust. Zero rent. From that moment, you can't trust. Not that you were trusting before, like you were believing everything before, but their behavior consistently took all the trust out. They are now on zero credit as far as trust is concerned. So must the relationship end? How will this relationship continue with a person I don't trust anymore? I have to take a bucket of forgiveness, pour on him, as if he didn't do anything. You learned it this morning, justification. As if he didn't do anything. Then give him another 100. Or when you actually see that, hey, I think this is going to be a problem. You give it 200. Let me prepare better. Take 200 and let's start again. That's how come people are married for 50 years. People are married for 60 years. Because many times the trust bucket runs out. But then they apply forgiveness. They apply grace and mercy. And then they give another 200 rand of trust. And then we start again. Receive grace from God so that you can give trust again. Maybe you've stopped trusting somebody, but may God help you today to trust again by forgiving the person. Forgive them. And trust again. Trust again. Obviously, not in an idiotic way. Do you understand? We laugh for free, but trust is not for free. The first one was for free, but now because I'm learning how you are, I am not a fool. So I gotta test you. I gotta test you.
I'm not being psychopath. I'm just can't just keep giving it to you like that. The Bible says, test all things. Love always hopes. Oh, things are going to change. I believe this relationship is going to get better. I believe this marriage is going to turn around. I believe my relationship with my dad is getting better. And you even start saying it. You start saying, my relationship with my son, my daughter, is getting better. I hope. And then love always perseveres. I think verse 8 is where we are ending. Love never fails. Hallelujah. Love never fails. Love never fails. Now, I don't want you to say, yeah, but Pastor, my case is different. No. Love never fails. So that your case is different. No. Love never fails. So, if love is failing you, maybe you are missing some of the point I was talking about earlier. If your love is failing you, maybe you are easily getting angry. Maybe you're keeping records of wrong. Maybe you are not patient. Maybe you are rude. Maybe you are not kind. But there's usually something you are missing in that list. Or a few things you are missing in the list. That is now causing your love to fail. May God bless His word this morning. Praise the Lord. Can we rise on our feet this morning? Wow. Wow. We thank God. We thank God. We thank God. We thank God for the word. We thank God for the word. How many of us are feeling a bit refreshed? How many of us are feeling helped? That I didn't come to church for nothing today. I mean, like, I needed to hear. How many of you feel you needed to hear what you heard this morning? Why don't you just start thanking God for the word? Father, I thank you for your word that came today.
Hallelujah. Raise up your voice and begin to appreciate God for the word. Father, we say thank you. Adonai, we say thank you. Elohim, thank you. Most High God, we say thank you. Jehovah, we say thank you. Abba, Father, we say thank you for sending your word that heals us and that delivers us from all our destruction. Thank you for giving our pastor a tongue of a disciple, a tongue of a learned, O God, for awakening him morning by morning, awakening his spirit, that he may speak a word of encouragement to the hopeless, Lord. We thank you that you are a God who keeps his promises, but we thank you that you are a God who answers prayer. Thank you, Father, that this word is not just for one, it's for all of us. It's not just for a select few, it's for all of us, Lord. We thank you that this word has fallen on good ground, O Jesus, and that this word is going to produce, it's going to bear fruit, 30, 60, and 100 fold over the lives of every ear that has received it today, Father God. We thank you that we are being changed, we are being transformed as we have an encounter with your love, Lord. You are love, you are forgiveness. So thank you, Father, that we look like you as we come closer to you, as we draw closer to us, that as we draw closer to you, Father God, that we begin to look like you, we begin to think like you, we begin to sound like you. And thank you that you are working a miracle, Father. You are working a miracle in our relationships with one another. You are working a miracle even in the marriages. You are working a miracle even in the relationship between mother and daughter, son and father. We thank you, God, that you are working. You are working even though our spouses might not be here. Our husbands, our wives, our children might not be here. We thank you that because we are here, that there is no distance, that we stand in intercession. We stand in the gap. We stand as a point of contact, Lord God, and that there's sanctification reaching our marriages because we are here. That there is holiness reaching our relationship with our loved ones, oh God. That there is mending happening in this place today. We thank you that many of us will return with a suddenly testimony, a suddenly miracle, a suddenly breakthrough. We prayed this morning, and the Bible says as they were praying that the prison doors swing wide open. We thank you, God, that as we praise, as we worship, even as we have received your word, a sudden opening of prison door is happening, oh God. Those that are here, those that are not here, Lord Jesus, that a sudden breakthrough is reaching our families, oh Father God, that you are healing, Lord Jesus. You are healing the families of Alive Bible Church. You are healing the families of Alive Bible Church. Even as you begin to heal the community, Lord Jesus. But it's starting here. It's starting here, Father God. You are mending hearts. You are mending hearts, oh Jesus. And that as you begin to, you started in our church, that it's going to overlap. It's going to cascade. It's going to have a ripple effect on our communities, oh God. Our communities will be a healed communities, a loving communities, Father God. We thank you that we will reach our communities with the love of God. As you begin to reach out to us with your love, Lord God, we bless you. We thank you for our pastor. Thank you for the word that you laid in his heart. Thank you for using him to speak to us, Father. Our hearts are opened even in this moment. In Jesus' name, with every head bowed, every eye closed, you are in this place today. You are not born again. You don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and your Savior. You are invited by a friend. And in your heart, there's a cry. There's a cry for Jesus. There's a cry, a deep cry, a deep longing for someone. Someone you know cannot fulfill. Only God can fulfill. You know that this cry is not a cry for boyfriend or husband or wife. This is a cry for someone deeper, someone higher, someone more supreme, more sovereign. There's a deep cry in your spirit, a longing that only He can satisfy, a thirst, a desire. Come to me, all you thirst. Drink from the river. He's calling to you today. And He wants to satisfy you with His love. He wants to satisfy the hunger in your spirit, the desire in your heart with His love. So you are here today. Deep is calling unto deep. You're saying, there's a longing in my heart. It's Jesus. He's knocking at the door of your heart. It's not a coincidence that you are in the house of God today. It's not a coincidence that the word of God was preached in the manner that it was. It's because He has been reaching out to you. And today you are here. You're saying, I want Jesus. His other name is Savior. You will call His name Jesus because He will save people from their sin. And so the Savior is calling out to you. His hand is stretched out to you. He wants to save you from your sins. If you are in this place, you're saying, I need a Savior. Savior, save me. At the count of three, lift up your hand and say, Savior, save me. 1, 2, 3. Raise up your hand high. You're saying, I need a Savior. I see your hands. I see your hands. He sees your hands. He sees your hands. He says, Savior, 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 save me. You can put your hand down. You are here. You are born again. Maybe you are disconnected. You've been disconnected for one reason or another. And you're saying, I want to recommit my life to Jesus. I want to start over. I want to surrender. I have lost trust. I've lost hope. I've lost faith. I stopped believing. I've been let down way too many times. But I want to trust again. I want to hope again. I want to believe again. I want to believe in God. It starts with believing in God. We don't believe in people before we believe in God. Maybe you put all your faith on a human being. And God is saying, put your faith in me. You are born again, but you know that you are not in belief again. You are born again, but you know that you are not trusting again. And God is extending an invitation to you. As a born again Christian, will you trust me? Trust me. Will you believe me? Will you believe that I will do a miracle? Will you believe that I want to protect you? Will you believe me? You're saying, Pastor, it's me, it's me. I stop believing, I stop trusting, I stop hoping. I'm on autopilot. I'm just surviving. I'm just breathing. I'm just existing. I want to come out of autopilot. I want to believe again recklessly. I want to plunge in and believe the promises of God. At the count of three, Pastor, pray with me. I want to recommit my life to Jesus. 1, 2, 3. Raise it up. Raise up your hand high. Yes. Yes, yes. He sees those hands going up all over the building. I want to recommit my life to Jesus. You can put your hand down. If you've lifted up your hand for any of these altar calls, come. Join us here. Put your hands together for them. Hallelujah. As they take a stand for Jesus. Amen. Clap your hands for my brothers. Clap your hands for my sisters. Clap your hands for God's people as they take a stance for Jesus. Yes. Put your hand. Come. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for them. And I want to encourage ushers, please. Sometimes you must just not close your eyes completely. Just open your eyes so that you can help us. Because many people will lift their hands. And sometimes they are afraid to come for this or that. Sometimes it's just good to just take a person by hand and say, come with me. Or let me come with you. I saw your hand was lifted up. Hallelujah. Maybe you are still there and you're saying, I want to come. I want to come. I want you to know, or God wants you to know that you can trust him. You can trust him. You can trust him. Hallelujah. To protect you, you can hope in him. You can believe again in him. Lift up your hands like a child. Maybe you are in the pews and you know you should be here. Don't harden your heart. Give God another chance. Don't write God off. Don't write him off. Maybe you've written him off. Don't write him off. He is God who still does miracle. He God who still does wonder. He is still a wonder working God. He's still a wonder working God. Hallelujah. Say after me, dear Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. I believe you died for me. On the third day you rose again, that I might be justified. Forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm restored. I'm a child of God. I am free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me, for restoring me, and for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Remember to subscribe to receive our latest service notifications and to share the link. You can also watch our pastor, Pastor Pascal, live on our Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ, or on our YouTube channel, Alive Bible Church SA. Remember, you are alive to give life.